a few years ago, and we had them up in Michigan. We had them in the bulletin. We sang it to a familiar tune. I don't remember what it was, but that was, we sang morning service, and I got a phone call in the afternoon from a fellow who said, "I love those words. Would it be okay if I wrote some music to go with them?" And I said, "That'd be fine." And he said, "I'll tell you what, if you'll let me use your words, I'll let you use my music." And I said, "That's a deal." So I don't even know the guy's name. It just JJ. That's all he was, JJ. So he wrote the music, and it's beautiful music that he wrote, and just a nice simple tune. And I hope that God blessed you through the words and through the music. If you would open your Bibles to Psalm 93. Several days ago, we buried Brother Jim Eccles, who was a faithful laborer in the gospel here with you for several years. I first met Jim back in 82. Brother Tim James and I were up in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, Jim's church. He pastored up there. His wife had recently died, and we just fell in love with him. He's such a sweet man, as you know. And, of course, then, you know, he wound up moving here, and he and Juanita were married. But just a few days before God took Jim to glory, he was sleeping most of the time, but one day he woke up for just a little bit, and one of his daughters, he has two daughters, one of his daughters there, and her husband, and Mary Cunningham was there as well. And he said, this is all he said, these three words, "The Lord reigneth." That's all he said. He went right back to sleep. And actually one of the family members said, "Well, Dad," it's his daughter said this, "Dad, he not only instructed us as to how to live, but he's instructing us in how to die. The Lord reigneth." And that was sort of the theme of what I had to say at the funeral. And I'd like to actually enlarge upon that message today and speak to you on the subject, "The Lord reigneth." Indeed, these are the first three words of Psalm 93, "The Lord reigneth." Our brother read to us from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we read those same words, "The Lord reigneth." To God's people, to those who've been brought by the Spirit of grace to believe the gospel, to those who've been regenerated and enabled to believe Christ Jesus, to see him as our all, to see his blood as that alone that washes away sin, to see his righteousness as that which God freely imputes to us, God justifies us by the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus. To God's people, those that believe the Son of God as He's revealed in the Scriptures. Those that rest in Him for full salvation. This doctrine that the Lord reigneth is a delightful, delightful doctrine. Under the most adverse circumstances, in the midst of great troubles, when God lays upon us heavy trials, we rejoice to know that the Lord reigns. He reigns over our afflictions. He reigns over our troubles. He reigns over our sicknesses. It's delightful to know that our God is sovereign in everything. Everything. We rejoice in the absolute reign of our God. It says, the Lord reigneth. And those last three letters indicate to us that this is a situation that will never end. This is ongoing. He always reigns. He always has reigned. He's reigning right now. And He always shall reign. And I would say there is no doctrine of the Word of God, there's no truth of Holy Scripture for which we must more earnestly contend than God's dominion over all of His creation, His sovereignty over all the works of His hands, His authority that issues forth from His throne, where He sits in regal authority. God reigns. We rejoice to hear our Lord say, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Nothing is more comforting to the saints of God in this world than the knowledge of this fact. Our God is in the heavens. And He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. We often say God is sovereign. And I have people to ask me, what do you mean by that? And I say the root word is reign. When we say God is sovereign, we simply mean God reigns. He reigns everywhere. He reigns all the time, and He reigns over everything. This is a blessed, blessed truth to the people of God. Oh, what consolation this has brought to us in time of grief, in time of trouble. The Spirit of grace whispered into our souls, the Lord reigneth. Oh, how that has soothed us. How that has blessed us. And yet, though it's such a blessed doctrine to the people of God, there are few doctrines as despised by the natural man than this one, that God reigns, that the Lord reigneth. It is the arrogance of man, the pride of man that rebels against the suggestion that God reigns, rebels against the truth that God has ordered everything, that God has purposed everything, God controls everything, God rules over everything, and the natural man says, no, no, no. I don't believe that. That mind filled with worldly wisdom, filled with enmity against God, absolutely despises the biblical truth that nothing comes to pass except that which is according to the infinite and good will of our God. This is an undeniable truth. God reigns. The Lord reigns. He reigns in creation. He reigns in providence. And He reigns in grace. He reigns among the angels that worship at His throne. He reigns among the demons who despise His name. God reigns. God reigns among His people who believe Him and who rest in Him and who treasure Him and who find Him to be their life and their all. And He reigns among those who curse His name. He reigns among those who despise His word. He reigns among those who refuse to acknowledge that He reigns. Still, God reigns. The Lord reigneth. To answer the question, does God reign? Is God sovereign? We don't go to the old theology books to find the answer. Don't need to do that. We go to the Scriptures. I remarked to someone the other day that so often when men are weak on some particular point of doctrine, or if they have embraced an erroneous belief, rather than go to the Scriptures and study what God has to say, they go running off oftentimes to old writers looking for somebody to prop up their belief. So that if they can find somebody who believes what this person believes, they'll say, see there, this is what old Dr. So-and-so believed 200 years ago. He's my authority. Well, to that I say, with all due respect to Dr. So-and-so, we have but one authority. That's the Word of God. I don't go to the old writers to establish me in some truth of the Word of God. I go to the Word of God itself. And you say, preacher, that's so simple. Well, you'd think it would be. You'd think that'd be the most reasonable thing to do. But people go to other writers. But we must go to the Scriptures. Now listen to what Isaiah said, to the law and to the prophets, to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. We must understand something is not the truth because I say it, or because some greatly reputed writer of years ago said it. That doesn't make something true. It's only true if God says it. So, and I'm not discounting, I'm not saying don't ever read any other book. But I'm saying read all other books with somewhat of a critical eye. Because all books are written by men, and all men are sinners. And we're apt to make mistakes. Nobody has a grasp on all the truth. But our Savior said of this book, He said to the Father, Thy word is true. Truth. We need to find out what God has to say on any subject that we're studying. And if you want to know if the Lord reigns, don't go to see what the old theologian said. Don't go find out what the old Baptist said. Look at the Word of God. Look at the first three words of this great psalm. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. And let me give you several things. Number one, His reign is revealed in His eternal purpose. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. The Lord reigneth. His reign is revealed, first of all, in His eternal purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1, what a glorious chapter. Here we have our great salvation set forth. The work of the Father in electing us unto salvation. The work of the Son. The one in whom we're accepted, the one who redeemed us by His blood. Therefore, we have the forgiveness of sins. We have the work of the Holy Spirit who seals us into the day of redemption. But I draw your attention to the 11th verse of Ephesians chapter 1. In whom, in Christ Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. All things after the intent of His own will. He worketh all things. That word worketh is energy. There is divine energy at work in everything. In everything. You see, our God, from the beginning, He has purposed everything that will ever come to pass. And God, by His divine, omnipotent, irresistible energy, is making all things work together to fulfill His purpose. And He's working all things together for the good of His elect. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You say, does the Bible teach predestination? Well, here's the word right here. Predestinated. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Before God made the world, God marked out the exact path that everything that He would make would travel. And He ordained the end where everything would wind up. That's His predestination. That's God's eternal purpose. He has purposed everything that will ever come to pass. You say, preacher, you talk like an absolute predestinarian. Well, then you understand me correctly. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in luck. I believe God. You mean God is this great? Oh, yes. You know, the Lord said this to Israel. You thought that I was altogether one such as yourself with your limitations. But God has no limitations except He can't sin and He can't lie. He can't do anything contrary to His holy character. God has ordained everything that will ever come to pass. That is His eternal purpose. Amen. This is the Lord that reigns. This is our comfort, you see. When those afflictions, they come your way in life, where will you find any comfort? Where will you find any consolation except in the God who reigns? Who reigns over all of your circumstances, who reigns over all of your trials, who reigns over all of your difficulties, and you say in your heart then, oh my God, I cry unto You, whatever Your purpose is in bringing this to pass in my life, let me learn the lesson that I need to learn, and let me see Your glory in this. Amen. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. We don't have a God. We don't worship a God who wants to reign, who tries to reign, who is endeavoring to reign. The Lord reigneth, and He reigns according to His eternal purpose. We need to understand all things are of God. And let's not just give lip service to that. Let's believe it in our hearts. Oh God, take the truth that's in my mind and drive it down here into the very innermost being of my soul, so that when difficulties do come my way, I can rest in this. My God doesn't make any mistakes. He's doing what's wise for me. He's doing what's best for me. And in all of my circumstances, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Before the world was made, He purposed to save a people to the praise of the glory of His grace. And that was an everlasting determination which would be wrought out in what we call time. He chose to save a people. He chose the Savior by whom they'd be saved. He chose the only way they could be saved, by representation, by substitution, by satisfaction. He chose the people to be saved. And in choosing some, He passed by the rest. Grace was given to a people in Jesus Christ before the world began. And others He left in their sinfulness to reap the wages of their sin. I would ask you, why is it that you're not going to reap the wages of your sin? Which is death. Why is it that you're different? Why is it that you sit here with the Word of God in your hands and you love the Scriptures? Why is it that you bow to the authority of God's Word? Why is it that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your very heart of hearts? Oh, you don't believe Him perfectly. You don't believe Him like you ought to believe Him. And you don't believe Him like you're going to believe Him. But you do believe Him. And you rest all of your hopes for life, for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, and for everlasting righteousness on Jesus Christ alone. I ask you, why are you different? Why are you different? I listened to a little bit of the funeral of Justice Scalia yesterday. And the message, of course, was work salvation. A service full of pomp and ceremony. Why are we different? No gaudy robes. No silly crosses, no stained glass windows with religious pictures on them, no crucifix, no statue of Mary, a simple worship service, flesh not being bragged on. Nobody talking about being baptized into the kingdom of God. Nobody talking about literally eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus Christ. Here we are, worshiping God through the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone, revealed in the Word of God alone. Why are we different? I'll tell you why we're different. The Lord reigneth. Amen. The Lord reigneth. And ere He ever made the world, He made us to be different. He said, "This people I make for Myself. And I'll make them anew in My Son, Christ Jesus. And I'll send My Spirit to them through the preached word. And the Spirit will do a work of grace in them. But these others, I leave them to themselves." Let me tell you this. Whenever we preach that the Lord reigneth, we're not relieving sinners of their responsibility to believe the gospel. Did you know that? I would Listen, you're responsible to believe on Jesus Christ. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's what all men everywhere. You need to turn from your idols and turn from all of your dead religious works to Jesus Christ and find in Him all of your hopes for salvation and righteousness. You're responsible to do that. Don't confuse responsibility, though, with ability. You see, here's the sad fact. In Adam, we lost all ability. We died. We love sin. We hate righteousness. We'll receive the message of salvation by works, salvation by baptism, count a bunch of beads, say a bunch of Hail Marys, say, makes me feel so much better. And we'll receive those. We'll receive a lie every time. But God's truth of salvation by grace, salvation conditioned upon the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, that's a message we will not receive. We will not bow to the authority of Scripture that teaches that, unless and until God does a work of grace in our hearts. Amen. And it's up to Him to do the work. You see, when we say the Lord reigns, we say He reigns in His eternal purpose. And if He leaves us alone, if He doesn't deal with us in mercy, what can you do? What can you say about it? If you die in your sins, you just get what you deserve. And this is what I ask God to do for me, and what I ask Him to do for me is to do for you. Oh, God, give us what we don't deserve. Oh, shower us with your mercies. Pour out your grace to us. And thank God He is saving people. He is in the mercy business. He's in the grace business. He's plenteous in mercy, it says, to all that call upon Him. This is a great salvation. He saves the lowest of the low, the vilest of the vile. You see, in His eternal purpose of grace, wherein the Lord reigned, He didn't choose good people to be saved. There were no good people. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God justifies us freely by His blood through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He justifies sinners like you and me. Like us. And He does that according to His eternal purpose of grace. His reign is revealed in His eternal purpose. Secondly, His reign is revealed in creation. The Lord reigneth. Nothing moved God to create except His own sovereign will and purpose. What could move God to create? Nothing existed but God. He created all things. He made all things. He made all things for Himself, and He made all things for His pleasure. I was having a conversation with a person just the other day, and we were talking about all of the heavenly bodies on out beyond the Milky Way, and we were talking about the stars and planets and so forth, that suns that no human eye will ever see. And this person said, I wonder why God made those things. We'll never see them. They're way beyond. They're light, hundreds of thousands of light years away. I wonder why God made all those things. For His pleasure. For His eye. For His glory. Behold the magnificence and the wonders, the magnitude of the greatness of our God. You see, man thinks it's all about us. Everything is centered about, well, how does that affect me? What's that got to do with me? Oh, you read something in the newspaper, you say, well, that don't have anything to do with me. That's how self-centered we are. But it's not about us. It's about God. It's about God's glory. It's about God's pleasure. It's about God's will. It's about God's purpose. That's what it's all about. I wish that'd get hold of us. I've had people come to church and say, you know, I didn't get anything out of the service today. I said, well, bless your heart. This service really isn't for you. It's for God. Well, I'm bragging on the Lord. I'm preaching Christ up. I'm preaching God up. I'm telling who God is, His greatness in His glory, in His power, in His wisdom, in His infinity, in His eternality. I'm bragging on God. If you don't get anything out of it, at least God's name's been exalted.
Amen.
Telling people who God is. Telling people who Christ is. The wonders of His person. That He's all in all. He's all to be known. He's all to be loved. He's all to be trusted. He's all in salvation. He's all in creation. He's all in providence. He's all in the Scriptures. Christ is all. That's what we're telling people. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. He made the world. Listen to Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. In all of creation, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. He made everything exactly the way He wanted to make them. Behold His reign in providence. The Lord reigneth in providence. What is providence? It's the carrying out of His eternal purpose of predestination. And in all that happens in this world, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. His sovereign rule of providence extends everywhere and to everything and everybody. All things that happen fulfill the eternal will and purpose of God. He's directing everything to the end He's already appointed. Providence. What a comforting truth providence is. And isn't it sad that you go into a lot of places, you go into a lot of churches, you start talking about the providence of God, and they say, what in the world are you talking about? Providence? And I know the founding fathers of our country, they didn't have any understanding of the gospel. But I will tell you this, they often spoke about providence, didn't they? You read the history book, they talk about providence, the providence of our Creator. At least they had some idea that there's somebody who's guiding everything along to its destination. We have a destination marked out for us. And our Lord is guiding us along. You who are His people. He's predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He's guiding you along. Now sometimes, let's be honest now, sometimes He takes us in directions that we'd rather not go. We'd rather the route went maybe an alternate route, Lord. To get to the same destination. No. The route He chose for you in His eternal purpose, His providence is leading you on that route. And His providence is not going to lead you in a way that you ought not go. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's Christ Jesus first. God directed His steps. And we're made good in Christ Jesus. He directs our steps. And our steps will end in heaven's glory. There to abide with the Savior forever. His reign is revealed in divine providence. all things fulfill His will. The Lord reigns in providence. He reigns in sickness. He reigns in health. He gives to one a cancer that can be healed and cured. He gives to another a cancer that will wind up in their death. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good in his sight. He gives to one. He makes one person to be a picture of health. Never have a sick day. Never miss work. Go have a long life. Another person, they're born sickly, sick through school. Finally, they're disabled. Try to work, they're disabled. They just have no physical ability to work. Who makes the difference? Who makes the difference? God's sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over physical abilities. He's sovereign over mental abilities. Here we are this morning. We have reasoning capabilities. We can think. We can read. We can study. We can comprehend, at least with natural comprehension, and thank God for spiritual comprehension. But there are others that God doesn't give those gifts to. Who maketh thee to differ from another? You're strong, able to work. Others are weakly and sickly all the days of their lives. Who makes the difference? God makes the difference. He reigns in providence. Everything that happens. And the greatest illustration of that is even the wickedness of men will praise God. Did you know that? Even man's wickedness. And of that, the greatest illustration is the death of our Lord Jesus. Because you have a bunch of wicked people who despised each other naturally, but they found a common enemy, Jesus of Nazareth. And so Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the Jews, all ganged up on him. We studied in our Sunday school lesson in Psalm 118 this morning, like bees just stinging him, like thorns sticking him. Oh, how they came against the Lamb of God. But you know what? It all fulfilled God's purpose. That's providence at work, because it was ordained from old eternity that Christ give his life as the sacrifice for his people. He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And lo, he comes into this world, and everything that happens is pointing him to the cross, taking him to the cross. And the disciples said, don't go to Jerusalem. Whatever you do, don't go to Jerusalem. Isaiah says he set his face like a flint to go. Why? That's God's divine, God's eternal determination for him. If he doesn't die, there's no life for us. If he doesn't die, there's no forgiveness for us. If he doesn't die, there's no righteousness for us. He must die because God ordained that he die. He died because God purposed his death in order that God be just and justify the ungodly. That's providence at work. And it's at work in everything else too. And God's reign, the Lord reigneth in salvation. In election, God reigns. He chose a people unto salvation. In redemption, the Lord reigneth. He bought those people. Christ Jesus bought those people that the Father gave him. In the sending forth of the gospel, the Lord reigneth. He sends it to one town, doesn't send it to another. He sends it to one community, doesn't send it to another. He sends it to one member of a family and doesn't send it maybe to the rest of the members of the family. Who maketh thee to differ from another in grace? In effectual calling, the Lord reigneth. Two people sitting side by side hear the same message, hear the voice of the same preacher, hear the exact same words, and one of them is smitten in the heart and says, oh God, I'm such a sinner. Is there mercy for me? Oh, God, save me for Jesus Christ's sake. I look to the Savior alone. Oh, God, he's all of my hope. And the other one sits there just hard as a rock. He's sovereign in salvation. He's sovereign in effectual calling. He's sovereign in the new birth. He's sovereign in giving the gifts of repentance and faith. He's sovereign in preserving us and keeping us and glorifying us. It's all of grace. I tell you, he's sovereign. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. And if you don't worship the Lord who reigns over all things, you haven't worshiped God. You have not worshiped until you worship the God who reigns over everything. Because that's the God with whom we have to do. Not preaching the God who needs you and wants you and hopes that you'll let him do thus and so. No, that's not the God we preach. I'm preaching the Lord reigneth. That's the one you got to know. That's the only one who can help you. So I don't plead with you, let God do something for you. I say, oh, the Lord who reigneth, do something for us. You can save us, if you will. You can show us mercy, if you will. You can help us, if you will. If you will. Amen. And the glory, Lord, shall be yours alone. The Lord reigneth. Let's sing a closing song.